Thanks, Holly. And if you want, later in the day or this week, if you turn to Psalm 8, you can read that psalm and recall Holly's song and many of the words. I invite you now to turn with me to the New Testament lesson from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, beginning with a verse numbered 1, ending with a verse numbered 13. I feel like I have missed June because I was away for 9 days, and it's good to be back with you and try to catch up, but it's great to be with you in worship today. And now let's give faithful attention to the reading of God's Word. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked. My children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" And may God bless us as we study and learn and worship together this morning. I think it's interesting to notice some of the things that our leaders do when life is challenging, when the chips are down and something terrible has happened, such as 9-1-1 or the earthquake in Nepal, when tragedy strikes, train derailments, a passenger ship overturns, people lose their lives. Talk always turns to prayer. In horrible times, even our public leaders will turn to prayer. Even in our more secular society, where we find Christianity more often criticized than in recent past, prayer is a response when terrible things happen. I visited a church near my in-laws that we go to whenever we're together with them, Presbyterian Church. Senior Pastor Greg Hills was talking about his wife, who some years ago was diagnosed with cancer. And so the doctors gathered, and a doctor of nutrition, all these different doctors gathered to decide what to do. And he and his wife visited with a nutritionist physician. And one of the big things for this particular kind of cancer was to drink a lot of blended juice. And so they looked through all of that and planned to do what he said. They were very much interested. And he held up a glass of juice, and he said, not knowing this person was a pastor, he said, "Are you a praying person?" He said, "Why, yes, I am." He said, "Well, pray to the juice, too. Don't just drink it. Pray to the juice." Well, our God is bigger than the juice. But when life gets serious, nearly everybody talks about prayer. And you know, we can sometimes do that in our lives as well. Perhaps we say our best prayers when life comes crashing down upon us. When life is dark, we often say our most fervent prayer. But it's good to know we can pray anytime, anywhere. We can pray in bright, sunny seasons of life, the dark days, and anything in between. But the question is how to pray. How should we pray is an age-old question from Job to the disciples to us. And Jesus says, when you pray, assuming that we will pray, and in this teaching, we are given a particular prayer, the Lord's Prayer, but much of what Jesus does here teaches us to be encouraged to pray. When you pray, Jesus gives us the Lord's Prayer, and he gives us many clear insights on the very character and the nature of God. There's much about God here in Luke and this prayer and in Jesus' teaching. And we find that God desires to be in relationship with us. God says, pray to me. I will listen. I am there for you. And God wants us to focus upon him and align our life with what he desires. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And Jesus reminds us that God is gracious. God desires that we have food and what we need. God offers forgiveness, knowing that we will fall short. God says, I want to forgive you. Just ask. God welcomes us in prayer. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. And finally, God gives good gifts. God gives fish, not snakes. Eggs, not scorpions. God gives good gifts, not poisonous things. So Jesus encourages us to pray. Come to the Heavenly Father. He's interested in you, Jesus says in a way over and over again. Now, there are so many ways to pray. And I just want to suggest one way today. I'm not suggesting it because I believe it is just the right way or the only way. It's just a way that's been helpful to me. And if it's helpful to you, great. And if you want to improvise it, that's wonderful. If you have other ways that are more helpful, that's wonderful too. I'm indebted to my teacher and mentor, Norm Schauchuk, and his co-authors, Reuben Jobe. They put together a series of books, A Guide to Prayer. The first one on the bottom of the stack there. The latest one is right here, and I've begun to use this. And shortly, when this was in production, they had to slow it down because Norm died. And they went through a lot of his notes and put things together. And so I also sense... remember his teaching as I use a guide to prayer. But over the years, I have used it and I have adapted it. There are a number of things for daily devotions, but I want to center in on the prayer time that's a part of each day. And they offer a very simple way. They offer a three-part prayer: pray for the world, pray for others, pray for yourself. I expanded it and added the church. So when I pray for the world, I pray for the church, I pray for others, and last of all, I pray for myself. And then in each of these areas, we can give thanks, and we can note challenges for which we pray. For the world, I pray for wars to end and peace to increase. I pray for particular countries and people everywhere. Sometimes I focus on the Middle East or other places. I pray for people to take care of the good world that God has given to us. For relief in Nepal and recovery and comfort to those who have lost so incredibly much there. I pray for troubled cities such as Baltimore and other areas, for more conversations and problem solving and less animosity and condemnation, making life better. Now, these are all challenging areas. I also give thanksgiving for the beauty of the world, the plants and the trees and the flowers and the season of spring when everything so much comes to life. The rains, I'm praying that we would share them with some other people who need them right now more than us. But God's the Lord of all things. I think of Tanzania and Angel House, and I give thanks for the mission there and the children and Boki, Robbie, and Lucia. And opportunities to go back in 2017. I was up in New England and got to go to the ocean, and so I give thanks for the panoramic beauty of the ocean, walking along the beach and feeling the sand between your toes. And for great seafood, clams, lobster, scallops, shrimp, and all of that good stuff. And then I also take time in my prayer life to listen. And as I thought about prayer, I get some new ideas. You can actually listen in each segment of your prayer. But we could listen. We can give thanks for the world. We can pray for the challenges. And then we can listen. God, what do you want me to notice and see as I look out in the world today? Take in information about the world. And just pause. and rest and see what God does. And then I think it's important that we pray kingdom prayers. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We pray for the transforming power of God to be alive and active in our world and for us to see it and God to work in and through his people. I think often many of our prayers can be about what we want and our personal issues or other people's personal issues and what we yearn for. But I believe we need to take time to pray kingdom prayers and think about what does God want. This past week, I received a global prayer strategy booklet. It can be used any month of the year. It's 30 days to pray around the world, 7 continents, 7 billion people, organized around praying for all those who labor for God, all the followers of Christ. Pray for the lost, and pray for leaders in each area. And so we could take any season and focus in on one area and pray for the world. For the world, give thanks, pray for the challenges, and listen. And then I pray for the church. I give thanks for the community of love of God's faithful people and the fellowship of the believers that I know, the comfort of a lunch following a memorial service yesterday, and the fellowship and community there, and support and encouragement. A place to worship for the wonderful servants of Christ who volunteer and do so many things, whether it's at St. John's or here or anywhere in the community and in the world. And then I pray for the challenge to be the church, for us to grow into the living practices of the church, for us to live into irresistible hospitality, passionate worship, intentional faith development, extravagant generosity, risk-taking mission and service each in our own way and together as a congregation. I believe it is all too easy for us to shrink our prayer life to who is sick and personal issues in our lives and the lives of all those people whom we know. And I'm not saying, please hear me, I'm not saying don't pray those prayers. They're important. All I'm saying is we can reduce our prayer life to just that. But what about kingdom prayers for the church? To be the church. And the amazing hope of Christ to live in and through us, that we grow and we reach lost people. And that's what I like so much about Paul's prayer in prison that Dale read a few minutes ago. What an incredible prayer. He prays it for the church in Ephesus. Wouldn't you like someone to pray that kind of prayer for you? And we can read that and allow Paul's prayer to be our prayer. He asks that Christ's followers would grasp the breadth and the width and the height and the depth of the love of Christ, that they'd be so caught up in the love of Christ that Christ's love would flow through them and out into the world wherever they go and to whomever they meet. And that's possible for us too. And I'm reminded of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s insight on this passage and his teaching and writing about the three dimensions of a complete life. What does a complete life look like? He says, love yourself, if that means healthy self-respect, for that is the length of life. Love your neighbor as yourself. You are commanded to do that. That is the breadth of life. But never forget, there is a commandment even greater than these. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. For that is the height of life. The Everest can't go any higher than that. Because if we love God that much, we will love others and know who we are. And so prayer helps us live into the complete life that is in Christ and that Paul writes about and Jesus teaches. And then we can pray kingdom prayers for the church before we pray for all the individual needs. And then we can pause and listen. Lord, what do you want for our church? What do you want me to see fresh and new in our church? Where can I be involved? Give me your perspective, and we just listen. And then I pray for others after I pray for the world and for the church. And yes, I pray for individual needs. And there's some 25, 30 people on my list, and that list evolves and it grows, and sometimes it shrinks, and sometimes folks are on there for a long time. Other times it's shorter. Now, I also know churches where they really don't do this. They omit this part of prayer. And I was a part of that kind of community and fellowship. It's very exciting. They were doing, making things happen, reaching out, bringing new things to life and doing justice and meeting the needs of the poor. And there was doing. And it was so exciting. But I wondered when I was there, would they still love me if I was sick? Or if I couldn't do, if I had a season of inactivity for some reason, would they still care? Would I still be welcome? And so it's important to pray for others, to give thanks for others, to pray for the challenges that are in their life, their sickness or unbelief or a job or whatever the need, and then to listen and say, Lord, what else should I see? Open in me a sensitivity to the people around me today and this week. And then last of all, I pray for my family and myself. Pray for each one and our immediate family. I give thanks. I pray for challenges and needs. Sometimes I pray for the wider family. Ask God, what should I notice? Listen. And then I pray for myself. I pray for the world. Pray for the church. Pray for others, my family, and myself. And I always feel in prayer, there's always, as in any part of the life of following Christ, there's always more that I could be. There's always more that I could do. But thankfully, God is merciful and forgiving. Life and ministry and mission consume so much energy as we go through life, but prayer and spirituality restores life-giving energy of God that we need so much. Now, when we finished up the Living Church Practices series, Rise Again, the last week, we focused on risk-taking, mission, and service, and that's about doing for others. Wonderful, wonderful things. A host of ways to extend the energy and the love of Christ in the world. Doing. But if we're not careful, we can get exhausted doing all those good things we believe God and Jesus want us to do. And so we need to watch that we don't get out of balance and only take the outward journey of doing ministry and doing mission. We need the inward journey to restore ourselves. Doing the most good that God leads us to do requires a lot of energy, a lot of thoughtfulness. And prayer revitalizes us, renews us, refills us, and it also, if we take time to listen, can refocus us on what it is that God wants. God is good. God is so good. He says, come. Come to me. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden. I will give you rest. Come. I love you. I care about you. Come to me. And throughout this series on prayer, we want to hopefully each week give you very practical things, practical ways to pray so that your prayer life can become all that God wants it to be, all that you hope that it will be. The sermons don't necessarily follow what's going on in Dale's class. There is perhaps some overlap, but in that class, there are other very practical applications of how God's faithful people have prayed and how prayer has worked for them. So I encourage you to take a look at your prayer life and see what you can do to make it better. Ronald Dunn has written a book, Don't Just Stand There, Pray Something. And you know, as we go through life, there are many, many opportunities to pray. I received an email from one of our members. I'm sorry, I'm going to be away on vacation, but I noticed a series on prayer, and you're preaching on prayer this Sunday. And here's something that I do to remind myself of prayer. I just, whenever I see clocks, I'll pray. And so throughout the day, many times I'll see clocks and certain numbers, and I just start to pray. Practical way. Don't just stand there, pray something. So I encourage you to pray for the world, pray for the church, pray for others, pray for your family and yourself. May God bless you and fill you with the height of his love, the depth, the width, and the breadth of the love of Christ. Please pray with me. Lord, open us up to meeting you in prayer. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.